Amen. Good morning, River Church. I have a few announcements for you. First, public safety announcement. Do not try to chew up a cough drop 1 second before you're expected to sing a song. It is very dangerous. You might die. Do not try it. Well, open up your bulletin. We got a lot of things going on. Some important things I would like to bring to your attention. The first thing, Night to Unite. Night to Unite is coming up. I believe it's August 6th, isn't it? August 6th? Yes, I'm getting some head nods in there. So one thing that we do every year in preparation for Night to Unite is to just canvas the neighborhood, this local area, with some door flyers. And so this Wednesday at 6:30, that's what we're going to be doing. So if we could get, like, I don't know, maybe 20 people, just kind of a group of people that just want to walk around the neighborhood. It's a nice, pleasant walk. We're not expecting you to go door to door and knock on people's door and talk to people and try and convince them to come. We're not asking that. If you want to talk to people, you can, but you don't have to. We're just looking for a group of people that can go canvas the neighborhood with little door knob hangers that just say, hey, the River Church is hosting a Night to Unite party right here. So if that's something you're interested, Wednesday at 6:30, it's going to be a beautiful night. It's a great time to fellowship, get together, and go on a nice walk. It's exercise. It is edification from being around your fellow believers. It's a good thing. So next we have Run Baby Run. So that is on August 10th, which is still in a couple weeks. But we are really trying to plan. We're really trying to get an idea of who wants to be a part of that. There are logistical things like t-shirts and numbers of people and planning that all needs to happen. So if you are interested, please sign up today for the run, walk, 10K, 5K, 1 mile walk, anything, any aspect of it you can be a part of. We really want to know if you're interested, and we really want to know today. So if that's something, if you have questions, you can come talk to me, or you can come talk to Mary Hellerud, who's raising her hand over there. We want to know, and if we can know today, that really helps us out. With that, Jordan has an announcement.
Yay, Jordan!
Morning, River Church. So, 'tis the season. School year's coming up. And, as always, we are looking for Sunday school teachers for this coming school year. So, I have qualifications for everyone. You gotta love kids and you gotta love God. In reverse order. Love God, love kids. If that interests you, think about it. You don't need to jump at it right now. Think about it. Shoot me a text. If you don't have my number, come to me and I will give it to you. And for those who taught last school year, I'm going to be texting you soon. You're like, hey, you want in?
All right, so Paul Karen can come on up.
Hey, Tony. I love you too. I already cried at the video, so we're good. That's my favorite video. Amen. For those of you that saw me run along the side there to get to the offertory, don't run in church. This is what happens when, four or five people leave, and I got to kind of catch everything, and they didn't let anyone know who was going to do the offertory, and they were too focused on Guatemala or wherever, and so this is like jazz. We're just going to put it together. All right. Well, thanks for coming out, everyone. My name's Paul. I've been coming to the river for close to 22 years. Jesus saved my life. And just love sharing about the goodness of God. And I hope to share with you some things that jump out, because I love the Word. I love to read God's Word. And Pastor Steve, many of you know that Pastor Steve and I have lunch every week, and usually we bounce things off one another. And I said, hey, this kind of jumped out at me. And he's like, good, hold on to that. So he said, hold on to that for a few months. And then we were at a meeting about 2 weeks ago, and he texted me across the table and said, hey, I need you to preach the 28th. It's like, okay. That was my two-week warning. So if you have your Bibles, I'm going to read from John chapter 5. And this is the only of the four Gospels, this is the only one that shares this healing at the pool of Bethesda. Chapter 5, verse 1, it says, sometime later, Jesus went up to Jerusalem for a feast of the Jews. Now there is in Jerusalem near the Sheep Gate a pool which in Aramaic is called Bethesda, and which is surrounded by five covered colonnades. Here a great number of disabled people used to lie, the blind, the lame, the paralyzed. One who was there had been an invalid for 38 years. And when Jesus saw him lying there and learned that he had been in this condition for a long time, he asked him, do you want to get well? Sir, the invalid replied, I have no one to help me into the pool when the water is stirred. While I am trying to get in, someone else goes down ahead of me. Then Jesus said to him, get up, pick up your mat and walk. At once the man was cured. He picked up his mat and walked. That's incredible. When we read that, we get used to that. We get used to reading about the miracles of Jesus, and it just becomes commonplace. But that's incredible. 38 years the guy was laying there. So I'd like to, now that I have it all read, I want to just go back and look at some of the things that stood out to me. First of all, the pool is provided, right? God is a provider. There's a way to get healed. There is a way, a place to come to get healed. God is a provider. He provides a way, and it's at the Sheep Gate, which I think symbolically at times I look at that and I go, Sheep Gate, that's where the sheep gather and they know his voice. And God is a provider of a way out of our sin. Am I just talking too loud? But we have to look for it. With whatever we might be going through, whatever, there's the blind, the lame, the paralyzed laying there. But we have to listen for it. For example, Abraham, when he brought his son on the mountain, Isaac said, who will provide the sacrifice? And then they heard, before he was about to slay his son, he heard in the thicket the ram, and we need to listen for the provision of God. At times it isn't always evident, it isn't always right there in front of us, but God always is a provider of a way out of our issues, of our circumstances that are challenging, of our wounds that we're dealing with. And he provided a way for Moses. He provided Moses to the Israelites, the Hebrews. He provided all this. But the key here is the choice is ours to go into the pool. Amen? No one forces these people to go into the pool. They wait, and they wait for the right time. And there's a lot of theologians that talk about the stirring of the pool by an angel, and I'm not going to get into all that because I don't have a degree in theology. But what I see is that it's up to us to make the choice to go into the pool to get healed, right? He wants to get in. We'll get to that too. I don't want to get ahead of myself too far, but he was an invalid for 38 years, it says. Now, who knows how he got there to this pool? But his determination was, I'm going to get to this pool. He made up his mind, I'm going to get to that pool, because the pool was where the healing is at, right? His mind was made up, resolute, determined, unwavering. And who knows how he got there? But he got there, and he knew this was the place where the pool, where the healing occurred and would take place. It's like the woman with the issue of blood. She knew she just needed to get to Jesus in the crowd. That's just, she just knew that's all it were. She didn't know how it was going to turn out, how she was going to get healed. She just knows she's going to get to Jesus. And her choice was for Jesus. There's no other place for us to turn as sinners than Jesus. And when we make the choice for Christ, not everything is rosy. Amen? Are you out there? Are you awake? Amen? Anybody have any challenges after they've made a choice for Christ? Everything's been smooth sailing? Everything's fine? Everything was all roses? But it can be a challenge, because the whole Jesus is a challenge to sometimes take in. I mean, when he was given the sermon and he said, "You have no part with me unless you eat my flesh and drink my blood." And many turned away. That's a hard message. Peter said, "That's a hard truth that you give us." And Jesus said, "Well, are you going to turn from me too?" He says, "But where else would we go?" And we have to know that there is no other way than Jesus. No, there is no other gods. There is no other path to the heavens, to eternal life, to God the Father, to have relationship with God. There is no other way except Jesus. There is no getting in by good works. There is no getting in by whatever you can think of. Whatever you can try to manipulate the situation so that you might do it. And I know I'm preaching to the choir here, but we need to know that there is no other way, so that we can have that in our hearts, so that we can share it with others that need Jesus. And just come and help rescue them. Boy, it's quiet in here. Thanks. So I just say that the choice is ours to not tiptoe into the pool. Bethesda means house of mercy, by the way. I had given Joan the message title, and I thought, oh, I should just name it the God of Mercy. But the bulletins were already printed up, so. Because I think my title probably changed 5 or 6 times over the course of reading the scripture. Joshua, we're talking about choices. Joshua says, and I'm sure many of you have this in your home somewhere. I'm going to read Joshua 24, verse 14 and 15. And it says, "Now fear the Lord and serve him with all faithfulness. Throw away the gods your forefathers worshipped beyond the river and in Egypt, and serve the Lord. But if serving the Lord seems undesirable to you, then choose for yourselves this day whom you will serve, whether the gods your forefathers served beyond the river or the gods of the Amorites. But as for me and my household, we will serve the Lord." It's about a decision, to make a decision, a resolute decision to follow Christ, not just for salvation, but each day, each and every day, to get up and follow and choose Jesus, to choose to get into the healing pool of His Holy Spirit every morning, to choose Him for the rest of our lives, day after day after day. So, moving on, it says that Jesus asks, "Do you want to get well?" But I'm going to get to that. And he says, "I have no one to help me into the pool when the water is stirred." That's kind of a sad thing, that he's all alone, that there's no one in his life that would help this man carry him into the pool. There's no one that had been with him for some time, that had maybe gotten healed before him and came back and helped him. And to me, it just shows the importance of relationship to one another. That God says we need one another. We need to be connected for when the times are tough and you need to have someone help you and you need to help them. Did this guy think he was a lone wolf and it was, you know, he was too strong? His pride maybe was too much that he wouldn't allow people close to him. Whatever it is, whatever it may have been, I just wonder if maybe he regretted his choice to be alone. Now, I know at this place, at this church, we got night to unite, Monday night prayer, Wednesday night cell group, or Wednesday night youth group, cell groups. There's always something, the importance that has been emphasized with the one another's and the togetherness in this church is paramount to what our success is, to honor God and glorify Him. It's because all my best friends are in this room or in another country. And that is something that a lot of the world outside this church, outside a spiritual life with God, they don't have. They don't have anybody they can call to help them. They don't have anyone they can call to borrow their truck or roof their house or pray with them or whatever the need. And so we don't want to get spoiled of that. We want to cherish that togetherness and feed into that. And so I'll see you all tomorrow night for prayer, right? But we just need to know the importance of relationship, the togetherness, the one another's. Ecclesiastes says, I didn't have time for the slide, so. Ecclesiastes says, there was a man all alone. This is Solomon. There was a man all alone. He had neither son nor brother. Isn't it awesome that when you get born again, God provides you with sons and brothers? And there was no end to his toil. Yet his eyes were not content with the wealth. For whom am I toiling? He asked. And why am I depriving myself of enjoyment? This too is meaningless, a miserable business. Two are better than one because they have a good return for their work. If one falls down, his friend can help him up. But pity the man who falls and has no one to help him up. Also, if two lie down together, they will keep warm. But how can one keep warm alone? The one may be overpowered, the two can defend themselves. And then a cord of three strands is not easily broken. It's a very common wedding passage, but it's about togetherness and the importance and the need of two together. We need to stay connected. So then moving on to the next verse I want to share with you is, it says Jesus asked the man, "Do you want to get well?" Now, the video really showed it's like Jesus comes out and pursues us and chooses us and grabs us and takes hold of us. And what jumped off the page to me when I read this was, do you want to get well? Jesus asked that. He could have healed him. He could have brushed by him. He could have just thought about it. But he asked them, do you want to get well? And there is something about wanting and desiring and pursuing that Jesus wants to know, I believe. And he doesn't want to just, do you want to just get well physically? Because we know this was written over 2,000 years ago nearly. So, but for today, it speaks to us today. It's like, do you want to get completely well, spiritually, physically, emotionally, healed? Because he can still do it. And do you want that? Do you want to really dive into the relationship with Jesus? Do you want to really just have that relationship with Christ that is complete and abundant? Do you want Jesus like he wants you? That's the question I ask for each person here. It's like, do you want Jesus like he wants you? Because if we do that, that never stops. There's nothing that can stop us. And that's what we want to do. We want to have that every morning, to not let our love for Him grow cold, lukewarm. We want to return to our first love every morning. And so I just want to encourage you and say that you got to know what you want to. You have to know that you want to pursue Christ every day. In March 1998, I knew that I wanted a healthy spiritual life more and a secure eternity more than I wanted what I had been getting before Jesus. And it changed my life. He's the only way. All other ways are counterfeit and they fade away. And the choice is ours to be after Him. Like I think of Meshach, Shadrach, and Abednego, their choice was resolute. They were going to choose not to worship anything but the living God. And even if He doesn't save them from the fire, they weren't going to back down. And so that want and that desire is something that we should pursue daily. And I know I'm sounding like a broken record. I apologize for that, but it's to go beyond that, to go beyond that just simple want, but a deeper want, and find that want. And then Jesus says to the man, once he's been healed, He says, "Pick up your mat and walk." Now, we know that Jesus told him that because it was a Sabbath, and that was going to ruffle some feathers with the religious. But the way I see it is that is to remind us of where we were. Here's this guy who had been on that mat for 38 years, for a long time, and Jesus said, "Take that with you." And so I'd imagine as he's walking along bringing his mat, he'll always be reminded of where he was and what he's been saved from. And we should always be reminded of, because it, hold on, let me finish, let me back up, sorry. It says earlier in 5, it says, here a great number of disabled people used to lie, is in a past tense. To me, that says past tense. They used to lie. They used to be blind. They used to be lame. They used to be paralyzed. And I believe that the devil always wants to remind me of and try to get me to forget God's goodness. The world tries to snuff out God's goodness, what He has delivered me from, what He has rescued me from, and wants to drag me back there to that life. And I take things with me I remember things that say, no, I'm not going to go back to there, to remember what I was saved from, to remember what we were healed from. Are you out there? Anyone? Just really. So to remind us again, so as to not forget that we were blind, to not forget the goodness, to not forget, to remember, to keep wanting to choose Christ. So I'm going to wrap up early. God has provided His Son for us. That's the provision that He has given us. If you don't know Christ, you need to choose. There'll be somebody up here after to pray. To have your choice be unwavering and resolute. To not let it get faded or lost in the worries and the routine of life. If you choose Jesus, I ask you, do you want to get well? Because this is the place, this is the people, this is the ones that can help you find Jesus. And there's a metaphor in this whole healing with the pool that says, it's like to imagine, I like to look at the scripture and look at it metaphorically sometimes and a little symbolically and say that the healing is like salvation and no one can help you get saved. No one can carry you into salvation. No one can, you can't do it even on your own because your sin keeps us crippled. But when you have that face-to-face with Jesus and you come face-to-face with Jesus and he approaches you and he gets down to the people that are unclean, he's the God of mercy. He's not even supposed to be there. He didn't go to the temple. He went to where the sick were. He didn't go and be flashy. He got down and he's like, do you want to get well? And he did that for me in March 1998. And to think that the God of the universe gets down on his knee and he speaks to us where we're at and he says, do you want to get well? Because it isn't about having to get into the pool. It isn't having about do this. Having jump through hoops. He doesn't make you jump through hoops. He doesn't make you clean up beforehand. He makes you clean right where you're at. And then he says, get up. And when you see that face to face, and you know him face to face, then, and to know his humility and his mercy, then all you're going to want to do is live for him. All you're going to want to do is pray to him. All you're going to want to do is be connected to his body. That's all you want to do. I am so desperate for Jesus every morning. It's like my next breath. You gotta be desperate, not in a negative way, but in a desperate way. I need you. That's all I need to get through the day. Everything else is just going to fall into place. But you got to have the love and the desire to want to choose through the tough things. To come to church when you don't feel like it, because there might be something here. To go to Monday night prayer when you don't feel like it, or to go to cell group, or whatever it is, to choose that connection. So that's my message to us today, is to truly seek Jesus' face, to know that he has set us free. God, that we can pick up our mat and remember where we were so that we don't lose sight of what we've gotten, to know that we're saved and born again. So I just want to pray in closing. Lord, I just thank you for this word. God, I thank you for your word that can speak to us. I hope that, God, that God, that we can come to know you deeper each and every day. God, that if there's anyone here that hasn't chose Christ, God, I pray that they would choose Christ. God, if there's anyone here that needs encouragement, God, I pray that they would reach out and be connected, that they would have, that they would get connected, that someone could encourage them, God, and that could help them. God, we just pray that everyone would have a good week. God, we pray that we would follow you more deeply each and every day. God, I pray you would bless the Guatemala team, Lord, and keep them safe. God, I pray these things in your holy name. Amen.